I mentioned there's two ways to scatter the sheep, and I didn't make that very clear, but the one, of course, is to, by driving them, you just scatter them. And by driving, you also eventually are going to destroy them. And they're not going to pay attention to you, not going to listen, and this sort of thing. And so sheep are intended to be led. I don't know whether it means anything or not, but I developed my own saying on this is, you can't lead people by looking over their shoulder. People need care. They need to know that they're needed, and there needs to be attention paid. But I think you also have to develop a trust, and that's a little bit what I want to talk about here in just a moment. So we asked the question, how are shepherds identified and are they mentored? I've known many people who thought they wanted to raise sheep. And I can remember when, Mary and I hadn't been married all that many years, and we go down to her family, and it seemed like everybody there, that their family had come from the country, and they were the children of people that had come from the country, and everybody wanted a cow and a pig or whatever to raise. And some of you can kind of identify this with pets. You think you want something until you get it. And I know people that have wanted to raise sheep, thought they wanted to raise sheep, and once they got them, they realized they simply were not equipped to do it. It is something that's just a little bit different. And I never learned all the lessons there were to learn. I learned some things, but as far as just handling sheep. In Acts the 20th chapter and the 28th verse, when Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. How does the Holy Spirit make one an overseer, an elder, bishop, however you want to call that? So I believe if we go to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, it simply means that which we call qualifications, or what one's attitude and demeanor needs to be in order to be the leader of God's flock. We've talked quite extensively, again at home in our study, about talents, abilities, gifts, and this sort of thing. These are not things of our own choosing. These are given us by the Holy Spirit. It makes no difference whether we're a member of the body of Christ or not. We all have gifts. We are given those to some degree at our birth. There's some of them that seem to come from our genetics. I don't know how some of that works. Don't pretend to know. But we're all given something that we can do. So then our task becomes, what do we do with what we've been given? And so if you become a leader, know that God has provided the means by which you can be equipped to be that leader. If you find it difficult for you to be a leader, it's quite possible that God did not give you, through the Holy Spirit, that ability to do that. And there's no shame in that at all. There's no concern. It's simply try to understand what it is that God, where God has placed you. There in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 16th verse, where he talks about it being all fitly framed together. So if you don't fill that spot that God has given you, it goes unfilled. There's a hole in the church. And so that doesn't mean that the work won't eventually get done. It just means that the part that you could play, you leave it undone. And so you need to accept what's been given to you and pursue that with all your might. So Romans, the 12th chapter, it mentions the gifts differing according to the grace of God. Matthew 25:15, we remember the parable of the talents, how the one had the one talent, he let it go undone. The work eventually went to the other two. The work got done, But there was still a hole there, wasn't there? Because it was a life that had not done that which he could do. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about these abilities coming from the same Spirit. That's very much like what Paul talked about, their gifts coming by the Holy Spirit. So, are leaders mentored? Well, I feel I was mentored when I would join 4-H. We would each summer, getting near fair time, we would get together and the parents would carpool, and we would go down to the different members' farms, and we would look at their project. And sometimes we had people who were more experienced that would give us tips, tell us things that we need to do. And as a result, I learned some things that helped me to take care of the sheep even better. As far as the church is concerned, I was appointed, I was given responsibilities, but I believe that I learned much before that. I was given some responsibilities that I might be able to see what some of these things were like. But I think you have to expose yourself to opportunities also. In order to develop your ability, find out what it is. You've got to expose yourself to opportunities. Find out what it is you can do and what you can't, and what you need to put your might to. So in Acts the 6th chapter, we've already mentioned the deacons, that they were of good reputation. So those were people who had already shown that they had the ability and the attitude to serve. And the people who were doing the choosing had seen how well they had done their daily work, and they saw their willingness. And so when it came time for the selection of these deacons, it wasn't a matter of going around and interviewing people so much about, well, what do you know about Brother So-and-so over here? A lot of those things were already known. So when someone was called in and the appointments were going to be made, a lot of the groundwork had already been done, because those people had put themselves to the task. They had been willing to take advantage of some opportunities that were given to them. Sometimes we have to ask to be involved. And if we find that we fail, don't be ashamed and don't be embarrassed if you do not have the ability to do that you think you want to. I never did go into doing any, I had no idea at all of becoming an elder. It wasn't in my thoughts, because I think I had been mentored very well. I can thank Brother Bill Hensley, Wilford Landis, many others that I had spent some time with, and they had just encouraged me to do things, gave me the opportunity to do things. And as a result, I saw things that have been of untold advantage to me through the years. And so we have to take advantage of the opportunities that are given to us. As far as the elders are concerned in equipping of the church, delegate responsibility under your authority. It's not the responsibility of the elders to do all the work of the congregation, but they must see that the needs are met. I like to talk in a casual way to members. We have several people in their 20s right now, and I just like to go around and talk to them, you know, how's your job going, and what do you think of your job? You give me a little idea of you know, what, how they feel about working, how well they handle responsibilities, how timely are they, do they enjoy what they are doing, what are their interests in others. So not only do I learn about them, but they feel needed. So how serious are they about their responsibilities? I can tell you who, when it comes to reading the schedule for next week, if I read the schedule, I can tell you who I know. I don't have to worry at all about whether they're going to take care of their responsibility or not. But I also know who we better be ready to cover for. Because we, you know, these are things that I think help us to for the church to be more effective in service to the Lord, is that we be really involved with one another, interested in one another, because I think people like to know that you care about them. And again, I want to emphasize that not being able to handle a particular task is not necessarily a failure. It's just not that thing that you've been given. There are other things that you can. Elders and deacons are not appointed on potential, but on being qualified. They're not appointed because they are becoming qualified, but because they are. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop must be. 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise deacons must be. And no, they're not at their peak when they're appointed. But it's not a work, not a service you grow into, but it is a service that you grow in. You're going to be able to meet those responsibilities which Paul gave to Timothy and to Titus, and be able to grow in those and use them as you need. So in this process of growth, we should believe that we can do what the Lord has provided for us to do. Some would have us to believe that these qualifications can never be met. And yet God has charged elders to take charge of the church. They must give an account. And they must be examples to the flock, as he mentions in 1 Peter 5 and 3. So there is a work that the Lord gives to us, and we need to be ready to accept that work and to know it can be done. So again, should elders be able to meet every need of the church? No. But they need to know who can. One of the definitions of a bishop is to superintend or to oversee. When one of my sheep was sick, I didn't necessarily know what was wrong with the sheep, but I might know a veterinary that did. If they didn't seem to be developing as they need to, there seemed to be a problem with their feed, I didn't necessarily know what that was, but I might know a feed salesman that did. You're the superintendent on a project. Do you do all the work? Are you accompanied by various skilled people who are able to fill these positions and do them? You just simply can't do everything. You must seek out those people who are able to do these works and to help and assist in this work of the Lord. When a need exists within the exists in our flock, we may not be able to meet every need, but we need to know who can. There's, in recent years, I think one of the things, I don't know whether you've run into any of this or not, whether it's been of concern to you, I think there's some legal needs within the church that are kind of hanging over our heads that maybe we're not, I don't know whether we're not taking them as seriously as we ought to or not, but they're there. We need to be aware of them. And most of us are not lawyers, and we don't know how to handle some of those, but it'd be a real good idea that if the way our the morals are heading in our country, that we be prepared to handle some of these issues when they come our way. So it's important that we know what's going on. So then let's just briefly update before we go into the leadership in general, and we'll wrap this up for too long. What are some of the most important things which leaders of the church must remember? Shepherds are leaders, not drivers. The inclination is we want people to do what's right. And so we want so much for them to do what's right that we just hammer away at it, and we hammer away and we hammer away until it begins to fall on deaf ears. So we need to be willing to give people some space. We need to teach that which we should teach. We need to prepare them for that which they need to be prepared for. But we need to know that people must own their own faith. We can't own it for them. They must own their own faith. A shepherd's heart is a servant's heart. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He provides all that I need. He leads me beside the still waters." That gives an essence of calmness, of refreshing. "He restores my soul." That's a building up. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A giving of hope. So who is it that we want to emulate? We want to emulate the Good Shepherd, isn't it? Remember who we are. who the flock belongs to, and to lead as if we are hearing his voice. And as if they listen to us, they are hearing his voice also. So when overseeing, each person must be recognized and seen as an individual. I think sometimes we like cookie cutter solutions to problems. I don't believe there is such a thing. Every individual is an individual. And so I think we're going to see the need of each individual individually. I don't care if it's the same person that does the same thing twice in a row. Each one of those is a separate experience because there's something different that has triggered that. And brought, they have that habit or whatever it might be, but they still are an individual, and each thing that we deal with must be handled in an individual way. Jude 22 and 23 says, "On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So that means we got to know one another. That means we're going to spend some time together. That means we're probably going to spend some time together, not necessarily talking about strictly spiritual matters. What makes each one of us tick? And that's what helps us to be held together and strengthened. Remember the words of Jesus and when it comes to what the flock really needs. Remember the words of Jesus to Peter in John chapter 23 and verses 15 through 17. I'll briefly mention that. There's so many lessons that come from those three verses. But you remember that Jesus said to Peter, he says, "Do you love me?" Well, Peter says, "Of course I do." Then Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." That comes from the Greek word bosko, which means to nourish. So the importance of, he's pointing out the importance of the word getting the newborn off to a good start. That's why I said I ruined 2 weeks or whatever we'd have lambing time. Because I knew the most important thing that I needed to do right after that lamb was born is to make sure it got up and that it nursed. It needed to get warm from the inside out. And so it was important to get that first nourishment in there. And, you know, it doesn't all work the same. There's some I've worked all night and still lost. There's just no two times it's ever the same. So there is an importance in getting the newborn off to a good start. The milk of the word. It's what they need more than anything else, Jesus is telling Peter. When you have a newborn child in Christ, the thing they need more than anything else is nourishment. They need the word. Then he asks him again in verse 16, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, I do." Then he says, "Feed my sheep." It's the Greek word poimeno, which means to oversee. To oversee, or to observe, to correct, to guide, encourage, to give assistance, to tend. In other words, it's that observation. You've got them started on the milk of the word. Now, how are they progressing? What's going on in their body? Is there a need there that you need to pay attention to? Some tending needs to be done. Maybe something needs to be changed in helping them. But in the same context, in looking at this word poimeno, in meaning to protect, there's the tendency to want it to overprotect. Let's assume that the shepherd takes his sheep into the sheepfold, and he leaves them there, and never takes them out, because something might happen if you let them out. What's going to happen? They're going to starve to death, aren't they? So you've got to be willing to take that risk. You've got to prepare in such a way that you're confident in taking that risk and letting someone grow. But then he comes right back in verse 17 and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Of course I do. How many times are you going to ask me?" And he says, "Well, then feed my sheep," which again, it means to nourish. So the point he's making, the feeding of the flock from the word of God is the constant necessity as far as the spirit is concerned. The spiritual care for the sheep, though other things are important, they pale in comparison to the importance of feeding from the word of God. So if we do this, many of the problems we fear come to be. In other words, we're talking about preventive maintenance. We sometimes, you know, we have busy lives, and sometimes we get to think we don't have the time, but there's a great need for that. Okay, I'm going to, I guess I got a little bit more time, don't I? No, just a few minutes. Okay, but we still haven't answered the question, how are we like sheep? I've alluded to some of the ways that, and I believe the number one way is that we are like sheep in that we are created to be followers. I think it's a fact that when you take any group, there's about 10% of the people in any group will do a majority of the work, or majority of the care and so forth. So that means about 80 to 90% are followers. I heard another saying recently, which kind of stuck with me too, when we fear we're going to become dinosaurs, and I think this had something to do with the digital age. When we feel the need to have the latest, the fastest, the best, lest we become dinosaurs, we become sheep. No matter what we do, we end up following. We can try to get away with it, but we still end up following. So if you think we are not followers, just look at how we adjust our thinking to some of the social issues of the day. Some of the things that happened the last few years, haven't you just felt like you got steamrolled over because of the way society adopted them and accepted them? We're followers. We are created to be followers. We are called to be, in Ephesians 5 and 1, Paul says, be followers of God as dear children. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, be followers or imitators of me as I follow Christ. 1 Peter 3 and 13, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good? So we like sheep are followers, but unlike sheep, we choose who we follow. If the sheep is neglected, he will eventually choose someone else to follow. But if we prepare the sheep, he will follow the shepherd anywhere. We need to prepare the sheep to follow Jesus anywhere, no matter where he goes. No matter what he does, we want to go with him. And we're only here temporarily. We're just in this pasture for a little bit. Then we're going on to another one. We need to be prepared to go there. And so I think in our developing leaders, we don't want to be careless in what we're doing, but at the same time, we want to make certain that we're giving the opportunity for those leaders to develop, to step out from among the flock and become those leaders. Not to an elevated position, but one who we know they're listening to the voice of the master, and they're going to be the one that will take the flock where it needs to go. As we close today, we'll offer the invitation song. If there are any that's outside of Christ, if you find yourself not in the fold of Christ and you want to be there, this is an opportunity for you to do so as we stand and sing.